Welcome to the Working Class Bowhunter Podcast. We are back in the studio. It's short staffed in here. Myself, Kurt Geyer,
Doug Schmidt, the mustache,
Austin Chandler,
the Lord.
Eric is working, I think, overtime. He's getting them drag race parts out. Eric has a pretty cool daily gig.
Yeah, he does. It's pretty cool.
He works at, it's not a race car parts company, I think it's fairly accurate.
Yep.
Motion Raceworks, if anybody's into cars, that's where Eric works. So send them hate mail about Eric.
yeah, tell him how shitty the welds are.
Yeah, these welds are terrible. Don't actually do that. But Eric is a kick-ass welder. The podcast, we're here. It is time of recording. We're mid-December. Times are getting tough in the Deer Woods if you haven't filled the tag. But depending on what you got, they're getting better as the days go by.
There's still hope.
Late muzzleloader just started today for Iowa, so... Ooh. Getting the old smoke pole out.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Well, I wish you the best of luck, sir.
Thank you.
How are you feeling?
What are you shooting, Doug? What are you rocking?
I vary between a CVA Acura 2 or the Bone Collector Edition Triumph.
Nice.
You're rich.
Damn. Well, you know, and then I got one I won at a banquet, too, but I never used it.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know what it's called. It's old. I don't know. Doesn't seem as good. So.
And you've never, ever used it?
Never used it.
Huh. Remember when Jim Shockey, back in the day, he was a night muzzleloader guy? Remember that?
Yeah, and then wasn't it
Thompson Center.
Yeah, it was all about Thompson Center.
I always remember night muzzleloaders. Yep. That was
Night was my first one that I had.
Are they still around? They gotta be, right?
I'm sure they are. Yeah, Farm King had a whole combo. You get your whole muzzleloader package with the patches and bullets and everything, and it was $130.
All in this big plastic.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. Yeah. I'm shit, how can you go wrong with that? $130.
Jim Shockey's got one. Yeah, I mean, he probably sold a lot of muzzleloaders.
Oh, I bet.
That's how I knew night muzzleloaders, watching Jim Shockey and stuff. Dude, we're asking if they're still around. There's probably people listening yeah, they're still around, you numbnuts.
You idiots.
It's just not really our wheelhouse. It's cool, but it's not our deal.
Yep.
This isn't the working class muzzleloader hunter.
Well, maybe if they shoot a buck, it will be.
Be a decent spinoff. Kind of cool, you know? But no, man, it's crazy. I'm sorry, but I'm really looking forward to shed hunting at this point.
Oh, yeah. Seeing some deer dropping already.
That's not okay.
My brother's been watching a big deer up on our farm. He's old. He's not scoring much, but he's already dropped one side.
God.
Yeah, his stepson missed him the other day with the crossbow, and then 2 days later, he's missing a side, so he's off the hit list now.
Wow, he's safe. Safe.
Man.
Good for the buck.
Yeah, he's 13.
I really hope that doesn't happen to
me. The buck is?
Yeah, he's old.
Really?
Yeah.
Does that make you want to get out there and start looking early? I mean, you're boogering more.
Not really.
Yeah.
I mean, if you can glass one from a food source, if you're sitting up in a ground blind, just run out and snag it. But other than that, I don't mess with it.
Yeah, I won't go out for a while, but it's exciting. But yeah, if I saw the buck tag, I'd be like, no, don't say that. We don't need to hear that.
Yep.
You know, but
that's what I'm thinking.
We'll see. Let's get through some business here. The podcast presented by HHA Sports. We still have not picked a winner as of recording for our giveaway. We're giving away an HHA Tetra, a Scent Crusher gear bag, and a Working Class swag pack if you subscribe to our YouTube. So do that and show us that you subscribe, and we'll put you in the pot. But HHA has been great. I love everything, the drop away rest and the sights and have been absolutely killer. And perfect. It's nice, you know, if you invest in something like that, if your guy switches bows every 1 to 3 years, you don't have to change your accessories because it's still good. It's still backed by a lifetime warranty, and they look good too. You know what I mean? You're not going to have a new bow with this outdated accessories. Yeah. Yep. You know what I mean?
I know Wayne Cox is a fan of the old HHA after last night.
Yeah, he slammed a giant.
He went from a multi-pin to a single pin this year and nailed a 48-yard long bomb on a monster last night with HHA.
Mid-160s, late season whitetail.
Monster.
That's killer.
Yep.
Good for him, dude. Talk about a guy sticking it out.
For sure.
Love to get him in to do a podcast on that late season motivation type deal or something.
Yep.
But Scent Crusher, that can also play in once you get into late season. Whitetails don't tolerate much right now.
No.
You know, I think the later it goes, the more people kind of say it's fine. And we've talked about that saying it's fine. We'll kick your own ass over that more than you think. You know, you're not getting away with the same wins and stuff you're going to get away with early season because deer just don't mess with it as much right now. Their tolerance is way down. And maybe Scent Crusher, not saying it's all a cure-all, but it might be the little edge that you have. And hunting a wind that might be a little sketchier or whatever it may be.
Might hold them there that extra 5 seconds that it takes.
Exactly. So that's I think people, and I don't know, we're not like, there's a lot of salesy type TV people, which whatever, it's how they do their thing. But I think when someone sees someone sponsored by like a scent elimination company, that like, that's the only thing for like the old scent lock commercials, like forget the wind, just hunt. Like, well, okay, don't be silly. Like, we understand how this works here. Like, we're not saying it's a cure all, nor would we ever say that.
Yeah, that's just cocky.
But it helps. It can't hurt.
It doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt. For sure.
But I enjoy it, man. That and just the transportation of your hunting gear.
Yeah, it's easy. Everything's in one bag.
Yeah, I love it. Also, loophole optics. Thermoset, man, thermosets are going to play in big right now, especially when it gets shittier and colder. Victory archery. You're shooting the traditional ones.
Yeah, I shoot RIP TKOs out of my compound, and then I shoot the carbon trad 450s out of my longbow.
I'm still RIP TKO. I like that arrow a lot.
Yeah. How can you go wrong with that?
I want to try a different one, but I like it. That I like it so much I don't want to change, you know?
Fly great, hit hard. What more do you need?
Yeah. I've never had it, and I've killed a lot of animals with them over the past. Well, shit, I think I've been shooting that arrow for 4 years now.
Yeah, you've been shooting for a long time.
And I've never cussed that arrow. You know what I mean? I've never been like, fuck, it's my arrow, or arrow fucking snapped. You know, I've never cussed them. I've never had to. So I've almost forgot about arrow frustration, or, you know what I mean? I feel like that's something that.
Yeah,
people go through when they're trying to find what they like.
That's one variable we don't have to worry about messing with. It just kind of stays the same every year.
Yeah, yep. It's nice. One less thing to mess with. Also, Gator Outdoors. Man, the Gator team has been killing it, but they're a lifestyle brand outfitting the working class out of Bellevue, Iowa. So Midwestern company, just a growing small business that's doing it right in the outdoors, getting kids involved, getting family involved. And they have some killer social pages. Gator Outdoors, check them out. Code WCB10 off everything, GatorOutdoors.com. Big Time. I'll tell you, I've ranted about this a little bit, but I swear Big Time has changed, like the lease that I hunt has changed that property.
Sure it has.
It is. We have gone from seeing like no deer to having a shit ton of deer on the plots, which is just, it's crazy to see.
It's good to hear.
I think it's a property that's bouncing back from EHD. That's an assumption. My dad found a lot of dead smaller bucks and does and stuff our first year out there. And we're just now seeing like the numbers are, I feel like they're bouncing back and they're hitting our property. Like we have a buck brunch plot. My dad sent me a picture. There's a pretty decent buck out the other night, but with it being a little, it was a 45 yard shot. He could have shot it, but he passed because late season they're wiry and just a lot can happen right now. But he sent me the picture, and in the picture, the plot is like half Big Time, but half mud. Because they've like trampled it down so bad. It looks like a cattle pasture, like a bright green cattle pasture in the middle of this like CRP patch that we planted it in. And you can just tell it's from deer traffic tromping in and out of that plot.
That's gotta be a good feeling to see. Oh,
yeah. It's impressive, man. Yeah. It's not a big plot either. So we're like, man, we should have went bigger because they're going to have that thing ate up. But
yep. That's how you can judge the size of your plot. When you get into February and they're still holding antlers, you're like, man, I want to keep holding them here. But then you run out of food and they kind of leave. So that kind of determines the size of my big holding plots.
Yeah, we got two Big Time plots. One we call the South plot, one we call the North plot, which is where my dad was at. And I'll tell you, I have one of them Cellink cameras that hooks to any camera, and it's full. If my December, it's, what is it, the... I don't know what the day is.
21st.
But I'm full on data usage.
Yep.
And I have like the top plan without being unlimited. So
they're using it.
Yeah. It's pretty awesome. And also Old Barn Taxidermy. Every other partner builds in to being at Old Barn Taxidermy, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, it's makes you successful.
It's,
get to there.
It's the sponsorship cycle. You know what I mean? And it's all good people. So Old Barn Taxidermy, my opinion, they run one of the most efficient operations out there in the taxidermy game. And it's not like they're trying to take business from other taxidermists. Your taxidermist, wherever you're at, might already use Old Barn for their tannery services. Yep. So he's not only is he kind of paving a new way in the taxidermy game, as far as I see it, he's also helping the little man be more efficient and getting his hands tied. Hides tanned.
There you go.
See what I did? Bush heavy, huh? That's what we're drinking?
We're running on diesel tonight.
Diesel tonight. Hey.
Numero uno.
Yeah, I had one.
Well,
Hands tied. Old Barn Taxidermy. Bring on down the They'll tie your hands. check them out. Old Barn Taxidermy, Fort Madison, Iowa. They have a location in Colorado, but I wasn't prepared enough to know where that one is. But good people all around.
Don't they have one up by Chicago as well?
They have a drop-off location.
Drop-off, okay.
Yep, up near Rockford.
And they do meat processing now, too, and it's delicious.
Stellar. Oh, yeah. Stellar. You got to try them sticks.
Yeah, still waiting. Still waiting.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't bring any.
Oops. Thanks to our partners, Kick-Ass. Thanks for sitting through our ads. Appreciate you if you listen to them. And, you know, you got to think, we're just a bunch of dumb, redneck, working-class people that cuss and drink beer on a podcast. So if companies like that are supporting us, they're really for the people, in my opinion, and they're not for this whole fluffed-up bullshit stuff. I mean, maybe they work with people like that, but they really get it, in my opinion. So big shout out to them. But
the best.
We got to get our PA boy on here, and we have a veteran shout out, and this will be, I imagine, a fun bullshit podcast and storytelling. So thanks for being here. We appreciate your support, and we hope you enjoy the podcast. All right, on the podcast we have our Eastern hunting friends are back. Timothy Stancliffe, or Tim Neal, or Neil. What's up, dude?
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're good, man. Glad to finally have you having a... Wow, I can't talk tonight, dude. Glad to finally have you on a podcast. Give me another one of them beers, will you?
The old Bush Diesel.
Golly. I don't know if it's because I'm not operating on enough or...
You're just not used to it. Your system's used to, like, Bush Light. It's like running conventional oil in a truck forever, and then you put synthetic in it. It's the same concept. It
runs a little rutted running through. Now you got that diesel coming in.
Sorry, Neil.
No, you're good. I'm happy to be here.
So, you're out in PA.
Tell us
about that.
Northwestern PA, right on the lake, up in Erie, Pennsylvania. It's a nice place to grow up. Hop, skip, and jump away from either New York or Ohio. And it's a great place to be. It really is.
So, did you grow up hunting out there like your whole life, or is it something you got into a little later?
I grew up hunting my entire life. My dad got me into hunting, but my dad didn't deer hunt. My dad didn't give a shit about killing a deer. It was all about either squirrel or pheasant or grouse. He kind of realized that I was chomping at the bit to get in the woods and get my hands on some deer. And so we picked up a 243 and started heading to the woods, and he noticed I started killing deer pretty well, and he's like, oh, geez, all right. Well, I guess we'll roll with this. So,
That's pretty cool.
I didn't start out deer hunting. I killed my first deer when I was 16.
Yeah, but that's pretty early on, for the most part, you know.
That's
kind of cool. Like, you had a knack for deer, and your dad saw that, and that's kind of like his eye-opening, I guess, deal to it, which normally it's the other way around, you know.
Yeah, did he, learn with you then?
I think I killed... five deer before my dad got one, and honestly I would trade all those five deer into hearing that 20 gauge slug gun go off and running over and seeing that he shot his doe at like 8 yards with a 20 gauge slug gun. He just blew her away, and that was the absolute best. My dad ended up passing away in 2011, but that's really where my archery game, you know, came into full swing, is about that time.
Oh, really? So, was it just like trying to find something different, or like a new challenge,
kind of a new chapter,
I guess?
I was kind of in a weird place. A friend of mine, Brent Hayes, he's a good old boy, he's from Mississippi. He gave me a bow when I was, I think, 17 years old. He knew that I was into deer hunting, and he thought, you know, maybe this kid would get into bow hunting. So he gave me this bow. It was a PSC. It was a Deer Pro 1 PSC.
Classic.
It sounded like a trampoline when you chew. But it was so loud.
The double bounce.
Had the backfall of a trampoline, too.
I've never heard that. I'm writing that down. Sounded like a trampoline.
when
one of the springs breaks.
right. But yeah, he gave me that, and it had an old pendulum sight on it.
Oh, nice.
And I started shooting then. I started getting pretty good, and wasn't shooting out to any crazy range. Out to, you know, 25 yards was my max. And 2011, my dad passes away.
Sorry to hear that, by the way.
yeah, it was just, you know, it was one of those things. Cancer's a fucking dick. And so I got into archery hunting. Kind of found myself at loose ends, so I just started going into the woods, just trying to, you know, figure out what I was going to do and how to cope with everything. Mm-hmm. And my first sit in the woods with that bow, I had a doe walk out, and I was like, holy shit, like this is going to happen right now. So I didn't have a tree stand or anything. I was just sitting on the ground in the area that I knew they walked through and put my shoulder up against the tree because I'm like, I can't shoot sitting down. Kind of nudged myself up and shoot came in to like 15 yards, pulled back, and I ended up spining her, actually. It was a terrible fucking shot. I was so nervous. but it made for an easy track job. And, yeah, that was, that's where it all took off. And then ever since then, I was just like, oh, man, I want to do that again.
Yeah, that's cool, man. It makes you feel like you're on the right path when you have something like that happen. Yeah. Your father passes away, and then you pick it up and go out and have success right out of the gate. That's cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And a week later after that, I was working a construction job, and it was out in farm country down in a little area called Segertown. And this old farmer, super nice guy, I had to take a leak while we're on the job. So I went behind his barn and I noticed there were all these deer tracks. And there's this one print. It was just huge. And so I went up to him and started talking to him and asked him for permission to hunt there. He goes, yeah, sure. You know, he's an old Korean War vet. He goes, I don't care. You can kill all the deer you want back there. He goes, how about it? And so I think I hung a stand Saturday, and that next Monday I got up in it and I shot my biggest buck. It was an 8-point. And that was awesome. That was like a week after I just killed my first deer with a bow.
No kidding.
So I tagged out within like a week and a half.
It's your calling, dude.
Yeah. Very, very cool.
Yes.
That's awesome, man.
It was really something. I did not expect things to go down like that. But I still remember calling up my mom and I'm crying and I'm shaking. Like, I can't believe it just happened. Like, I've never had that kind of an experience before. And she thinks I fell out of a tree or something like that. Yeah. She thinks I'm, you know, hung up somewhere.
Right.
And I was like, oh my God, he's down, he's down, he's dead. And so it was really special. It was cool.
Very cool. So do you feel, I don't know where else you've hunted. Do you feel that the Pennsylvania hunting culture is more powerful than anywhere else?
The hunting culture. Yeah. I've got friends from other states, and it's not the same in other states. It's not the same in New York. It's not the same in Ohio. It is a like we used to get off first day of rifle for like school and mm-hmm. stuff. Like the state would shut down for that first Monday, and I mean, it is deer season 100% through and through. The Orange Army, like, people joke around in other states, like, oh, you know, the Orange Army is coming out strong. You have no idea. You have no clue. Shots go off like crickets in a field on first day of rifle season back in the day.
Well, the reason why, and I don't want everyone that listens from PA to think that I'm trying to just, like, bury that into the ground, but we just had Rachel on the podcast, and she's from Pennsylvania. And
yep. She's just like a half an hour away from me.
Oh, no kidding.
Very cool.
Did you? Yeah. So we forgot to mention you're on team working class with Rachel. Have you guys ever met before the team?
We were supposed to meet over the summer, and I was on baby duty at the time, and just couldn't make it happen. But yeah, she just lives like half an hour from me.
Oh, no kidding. That's crazy how small world it is. But yeah. You know, we talked a little bit about PA with her and kind of her outlook on it and everything. But from our perspective in Illinois, like our PA listeners are some of the most like hardcore, some of the most interactive. And it just seems in general when you look on the internet and, you know, forums or whatever, that the culture out there is just strong.
And, yeah, you guys like to deer hunt.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't if it's just – there's more hunters there than anywhere else, or if it's kind of, I don't know what it is. And that's kind of what I'm prying at a little bit.
No. Yeah. Yeah. I, I know what you're saying. I think it is. Pennsylvania has more hunters than any other state. And, like, even more than Texas. I'm pretty sure, don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure I read that. It is, like, deer season is life around here. Like, it goes beyond anything you could ever imagine. It's, like, growing up in a hunting family, you get that first day of deer season off, and then you go out with all your buddies. And I know you guys like to harp on deer drives and stuff, and it's not as bad as you guys think. It really isn't. But I know it's different for you Illinois and Iowa boys. But,
right. Do you think – let me ask you this, because I don't know if you've ever hunted Illinois or Iowa.
I haven't.
Do you think that Pennsylvania hunting culture is more – powerful than Midwest whitetail hunting culture? There's no right or wrong answer to this. I just want your perspective.
I know if you took a bunch of guys from Pennsylvania and put them out in Iowa, you guys would have a lot less 120s and 130s deer running around. Where you guys are passing up 120s and 130s, we're shooting those fuckers. Like,
yeah, well, different areas, right? So,
yeah. No, I wouldn't say we're more hardcore. I think hunting culture across the nation, you know, it's a special bond, you know.
Yeah, that's a great answer.
Yeah, the guys that, you know what you have to put into to get onto a certain buck or, you know, reach a certain goal. And I think you can take that and apply it to anywhere across the United States. Now, your challenges are going to be different, but I think the mindset – if you want it bad enough, you're going to have to try just as hard. And,
yeah.
I think everyone's on the same page there.
That's an awesome answer, man. That's awesome. Yeah. I love the thought of, to me, just like it's interesting to break down like the culture of hunting in different states and perspectives in different areas. Like Michigan's a state that fascinates me and mindset and personality of a hunter. Same thing, you know, PA, what we're getting into.
Wisconsin's
kind of got the same
I feel like if you're not a hunter up there, you're kind of like you're an oddball, whereas back here it's like, oh, you're a hunter, that's kind of cool, you kind of stand out a little bit.
I feel that way too here. I feel, do you feel that way, Doug?
I do,
because you have your uncles and stuff hunt, and I do. I have uncles hunt too, but
mostly does. But you know, like you go to a bar or something, there's really not that many hunters you run into.
Yeah, like there is, but there's not. And then there's different levels, right? You have the weekend guys that just want to get together and get drunk during gun season, and then you have all the
way. That's the worst.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're not bad people. It's just their lack of effort and, like, lack of ethic and respect for the animal is not there as much as ours, because we have more put into it.
Yeah, we just have different goals in the end. I mean, that's what it is.
Different goals. But I also feel like, all right, example here. This was an Illinois deer hunter forum. It might have even been a Quad City deer hunting forum, which was like, and I say forum, like a Facebook group. Quad Cities is our area, like cities and surrounding areas. So there's some Quad City hunters groups on Facebook. And I'm in like, I don't know, there's probably half a dozen of them. Someone was like talking about I hit it in the hip, so then I had to take a headshot. And then I go to the guy's Facebook profile. I'm like, yeah, you did. You know, like
you look like a head shooter.
Yeah, you look like a dude who shoot a deer in the head and then post about it on Facebook. Like, come on, man. You know, it's this different group. But anyway, I like that like cultural breakdown of hunters, because different deer genetics, different deer numbers, different part of the country. I think you're right. For the most part, we're all the same people. It's just there's these small differences. Yeah. But
it'd be interesting to like go experience each different group. Like
I want to go to the PA show. If it ever happens again, we get some more time. I want to come out there and hang out.
That'd be a riot. Man, we'd be dead time we got done with that one. That's like a 10-day show?
9 or 10 days, isn't it?
Jeez Louise.
Yeah, it's a long one. It is long.
We'll do it here. I'm hoping.
Well, whenever they open up again.
It's already canceled for this year, but 2022, shocker. I'm hoping we're out there. Yeah, shocker. So, but we'll be out there hanging out. You have to come work the booth with us, man.
Absolutely. I'd love to. Yeah, if you guys ever come out to PA and want to go deer hunting, don't go looking for any 180s. But you'll have a good time no matter what.
Yeah, pass up a 150. You did what?
Yeah.
You should have shot it. I would like to hunt it, and we get a lot of offers to hunt some eastern whitetail states. Actually, a lot of whitetail states, and we're super grateful that people offer. But, you know, like, we live in Iowa and Illinois.
Don't leave deer to come find smaller deer.
Well, that's like, exactly it.
Don't do it.
Well, there's the whole, like, in here, we get hit up from listeners like, hey, you guys should do a public land challenge. And I'm like, yeah, that's all cool. Like, we could all go to public land and do a challenge against each other on the podcast and whatnot, or challenge a different podcast or whatever. But I'm also like, I don't do this for a living. Like, you know, I don't get to bounce around and just chase deer around 20,000 acres every state that I go to until I finally kill one.
I don't have the vacation time to be.
Yeah, I got 2 weeks, son. I'm trying to kill the buck I want to kill, not some scrub just to get video footage for YouTube. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. That's, I mean, if you want to watch, like, Hunting Public, go watch Hunting Public.
Shout out to those guys, though, for real, though, because they do get it done.
Very cool what they're doing.
I love those guys.
They're huge, man.
Oh, my gosh. They're so smart. They're so smart.
Oh, they are. And by the way, I don't want anybody, like, what I just said sounds like it was a dig at them. It wasn't.
Yeah, it wasn't meant to be condescending.
Yeah, because I do think what those guys do is good, but they're doing it for a living. They have a little more time. They're also going to states like PA and Michigan and other states where some of the bucks they're killing are really good bucks. I don't want to leave Illinois when I could kill 170 to kill 115 inch.
Yeah, if we were all tagged out and had the time, I have the time, but you guys have to go work. So, if we all had the time, it'd be a fun contest. Jump in the trucks and head out and have a little competition for a week.
But those would be great podcasts. I would love it. Oh, imagine the shit talk.
Just motherfucking each other. Yeah.
That would be cool.
I'd be all in it if we had the time, but, you know, vacation is sweet, and we do a Western hunt a year, and I haven't even been taking vacation lately for whitetails. It's all been weekend dialing in type shit, you know, but.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, I mean, PA would be cool to experience that, come out and check it out.
Yeah, it's a good time. You know, I definitely think you guys should get out of your comfort zone, though, if you do come out to PA. Do a rifle hunt. Seriously. Like, experience a Pennsylvania rifle hunt, because it is a good time. And, you know, you get into, like, down in Tyonessa and Tidewater area, get into the mountains. And I say mountains. They're, you know, 1,500 feet at the tallest. Mm-hmm. But it's a good time, you know. It's different, and you get down to those little camps off of the logging roads, and you know, you go out early in the morning, do your hunt, come back and eat some food and drink a pile of beer, and you know, it's a blast. It really is a blast.
That's kind of a good point. I kind of flip flop our worlds upside down a little bit just to have the experience, because one, it'd be cool to say we did that. But two, I think from the podcast, like, media perspective would be really cool too. I mean, would you ever be in to do that, Doug?
Yeah. I've, I hunted in Kentucky before with a rifle.
What the fuck, you have?
Yeah.
When? So,
my uncle's neighbor said he had this amazing property, and it wasn't, but we went down there and he's like, yeah, I got this nice trailer. It was not a nice trailer. I slept like on a mattress on the floor.
Nice.
It was really sketchy, but I shot a doe with a rifle.
Really?
Yeah.
How long ago was that?
That was like 2008.
Oh, really? Would you ever do it, Chandler? Or
I'd rather just take the bow out and try it. I mean, if I'm going to get on a state, I think that'd put me out of my comfort zone enough. I'm actually going to be out kind of in your neck of the woods, Tim. I'm looking at kind of northeast Ohio here in about a week, and it's going to be close to where you're at, but same kind of deal. Sure. I've never hunted over bait, and going to take the longbow out there, I think, and got a listener out there that's been generous enough to invite me out to his place, so maybe it'll pan out, and I'll get to run into one of the nice bucks he's getting pictures of.
That'd be cool.
There's an awesome buck out there in northeastern Ohio. That's where my wife is from.
Okay.
She's from just outside of Akron.
Okay.
And, I remember the first time that I went back to meet her parents. It was actually Christmas Day. What was that, 2002? Or 12, 2002. We've known each other for a long time. We got up there. She's not from a hunting family at all. And I got there and, you know, we're getting out of the car and I look in her backyard and there's like a 9-point walking through her backyard. I'm like, holy shit. Like, you got to be kidding me right now. and no one hunts.
You're making Play-Doh snakes.
Yeah. There's not a lot of hunters in that area. There are guys, you'll see, 3D targets up in the backyard, the old does where the heads have fallen off of. And
yeah.
They've used the foam to fill up the rest of the target. But there's not a lot of hunters out there, and there's a lot of farmland out there. So yeah, there's good deer up north, northeastern Ohio.
I'm surprised. Do you have a spot out there that you bounce back to, or?
No, I've got permission to hunt a farm in just south of Columbus, that I've been keeping my eye on, and I don't have a cell cam. I'm kind of late to the game on that. But I want to get a couple cell cams, throw them down there, and then kind of wait for that magic time, second week of November, and see what's cruising around.
How far of a drive is it for you?
It's about a 4.5-hour drive.
That's not terrible. No,
it's not too bad at all. One of my friends lives in Columbus, Ohio. He's a big barber there, and he's been wanting to get into hunting. And I think he has a small spot he could go, but he don't know where to start. And he told me, he's like, I don't want to half-ass it. Like, if I'm going to do it, I want to try it, full-blown commit to it and all that. So he's on
Really jump
that's good
in.
To be like that, though.
Yeah, he's on the edge. I can tell it's like, I think the hesitation is going in that hard or not going in that hard. I think his own mind is kind of holding him back from committing, But you just mentioned Columbus. So I told him, I was like, dude, there's some big deer. There's some good
Columbus
good spots
was pretty fun.
Columbus is a good city.
Oh, yeah.
I like Columbus.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good area. It's a really solid area. If you ever look at buck reports from Ohio, that eastern, central eastern portion of Ohio, that's a banging area.
Seems like every podcast we get on Ohio somehow.
I know.
I mean,
and this one wasn't on purpose.
Because they get all the big bucks.
Supposed to be talking about Pennsylvania here, but how about Ohio?
Ohio's looking pretty good.
I'm close to it. It's fine.
That's hilarious. Well, that was on accident, Ohio. My bad.
We'll stop razzing you so much.
Right. But I just think, the whole PA culture is interesting. Have you ever thought about going anywhere else, east or anywhere, another state? I don't know. I guess kind of the same caliber of whitetail or worse.
No, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Actually, my in-laws own property north of the Adirondack State Park. We've got a pretty good chunk of property up there with a house on it. And it was the first year I went up there was 2013, I think it was, summer of 2013. And we're walking around, and there's these old tree stands. And I'm talking like the pallets that are screwed into the trees, and the trees have grown around it.
Oh, yeah.
And, old school tree stands. And I'm looking at them. I'm like, seems like a pretty decent area. You could probably get a decent buck out of here. And I'm walking around, and sure as shit, I stepped on a shed. It was the biggest shed I ever found.
No kidding.
Yeah. We're walking down along the edge of the marsh. It's kind of in the center part of the property. And, I step down and this thing pops up. And, the G2 on it was, 13, it was just shy of 13 inches.
Wow. No kidding. Wolf.
Yeah. It's not a bad shed at all. It's like, holy shit.
Well, there's something about those old wooden stands that makes you wonder. Those guys, they're not there for no reason. The effort it takes to put those in.
You got
to
pay attention to those spots. You pick up a new property and you start seeing all those old stands. You're like, all right, there's a reason this stand is here. Historically, deer have been in this area.
Yeah, because, imagine taking the time. How many of those are you going to put in? I don't know, if you were a hardcore guy, how many stands are
you? A north wind and a south wind, two, maybe?
Yeah, two, and then maybe three if you're feeling froggy.
Yep.
But, geez, whiz, man.
Stories they could tell.
I always wonder that.
You figure those stands, though, they're not even there for – I doubt those guys archery hunted, honestly. They probably shotgun hunted. They were using slug guns up there.
Yeah.
And, they weren't archery hunting up there.
Cigarettes.
But every one of those stands – I think I found four of them now, and they're all on these little rises up there. And every time you come up to a rise, if you walk the edges of it, it's all a young growth forest, but there's rubs and there's bedding area all over the place. And can't throw stones. Those guys knew what the fuck they were doing.
Right. Yeah. No, I mean, that shows it right there. That's something I feel like I overlooked growing up. Like, you just kind of, I don't know. It's, I know a lot of gun hunters where I'm like, yeah, if they're all making the moves that these guys did, then those things aren't worth a shit to pay any attention to. But I also think it was a lot different then. You know, there wasn't trail cameras. Because I think trail cameras help just as much. They hurt you just as much as they help you. Because it automatically gives you a false sense of what is there and what's not there when that's not always true. To where, you know, it doesn't make sense. Kind of the point I'm getting at here is, like, if they put all the effort in without a trail camera, then obviously they were physically seeing deer. They're less likely to do a guess and check on, like, a hanging hunt then. Because if I hung a camera, I've had them help me, but I've also had me go astray.
Yeah.
Like, maybe go, I hung a camera deeper when I shouldn't have started so deep and worked my way out in. But then that camera, I'm getting pictures of them in deep, but then I go in deep and I fuck up because I'm spooking them on the entry and exit or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
But it's, I guess it's, you know, this, some of this technology and tools we have, it's knowing when to, like, throttle on, throttle off on some of this stuff in the right way.
Yeah. It's hard to go about it. Yeah. Really mess with your head.
Yeah. I mean, Tim, do you feel that way? Do you feel like you've killed a lot of deer from trail cameras, or do you feel like you kind of get in your own head with them?
No, I definitely get in my own head, and I like to think that, I'm sure there's a lot of guys out there that feel the same way, but I like to feel like I'm trying to overthink it. And every time I overthink it, I end up growing in and just screwing shit up. And I mean, honestly, I'm only 15 minutes away from my furthest hunting spot. So, I mean, checking trail camera cards, you know, and, you know, the summer, oh man, that's the best. That's almost better than archery season. I love going and checking those damn things. I know I go in way too much. I didn't, I think I hung one camera this year. And I screwed it up a little bit, and so I pulled it out, and I didn't hang another trail camera this year. I just stuck to historically there's good deer in this area, and I'll just work with that information just because I've screwed myself so many times now.
Yeah, that's not a bad move, man. That's not a bad move. I think it helps you more, but we talk about this often. It's like you feel like you're being super productive by doing the work and out there doing this and taking selfies and posting forums like you're the man, you know. Not that you're doing that, but I'm just talking shit.
No, I understand. No, absolutely. You're absolutely right. You know, you guys get in there and you start, you know, hanging, you know, cameras here, hanging cameras there. Meanwhile, you know, you're the buck you're actually wanting to kill is watching you walk into the woods from the hayfield you have to walk from, right. And you're just screwing yourself the entire time.
Yeah, watching you check your Instagram, looking down while you're stepping over
sticks.
Taking
a selfie, yeah.
Sometimes less is more.
Yep. I've come at this this entire season from really the approach of just be mindful of the wind, get in there, don't be stupid about it. But then for that first sit, just get up high in your hanging set, you know, and just observe. Mm-hmm. Make an armed observation and, you know, Your trail camera is only going to tell you 180 degrees of, you know, what's actually going on. And, you know, if you get up in a stand, you can actually see what's going on in the woods. And so that's really the approach I've taken this year. You wouldn't know it from the buck tag still in my pocket, but it has helped.
Hey, I'm the same boat. So.
Well, I mean, nothing's guaranteed, but I think that approach is super smart, man. I think going in that way, you're a lot better off, and you know, it's hunting. It's not always meant to just work out real quick, but
yeah.
But I mean, you killed a good buck last year, and
yeah, that was a tough one.
It's not that you're not a stranger to big bucks, especially for your area. So I had to give you some credit there, man.
I that buck last year, that guy was a real pain in the dick. He was bedded down in a saddle in the middle of a cut cornfield, and the saddle had there were power lines going through it, and the base of the power lines was like a 20 by 20 section of sumac, and I overlooked it 100%. I never thought that the deer would actually be bedded in there, because I've got, you know, big old chunk of woods about 200 yards away with really thick, really, really thick red brush, going down to a stream that comes up into hardwoods with oaks. And I hunted the woods for the longest time, and, I was not getting anything. Like, I wasn't seeing anything. I shot a doe on my first sit, and I was happy with that. But I wasn't seeing any nice bucks. Little 6 points and, you know, little dinks running around, but nothing worth killing. Mm-hmm. I'm just thinking to myself, you got to be kidding me right now. Like, what? I had good bucks on my trail camera all summer long. I have no idea where they're at now. And sure enough, rifle season rolls around, and all of a sudden, I can finally see prints, because generally around rifle season is when we'll get the first couple snowfalls. And I looked in this hayfield, and all the tracks are going to and from this little patch of sumac. And so I really wanted to kill deer with my bow, and so I took my bow and sat on the edge of the woods where they were leaving that sumac to come into the woods and exit the woods. But they were doing all that in the middle of the night. They were in that sumac. As soon as hunters were getting into the woods in the morning, you know, like 4:30 in the morning, they were in that sumac. And then they weren't coming out until it was dark.
Damn, it was just like their Grateful Dead chill pad in there. They're just, just chilling. Hitting the devil's lettuce all day, just waiting for all the drunk gun hunters to get out of the woods.
Yeah. I couldn't believe it. And so,
hey, man,
I'm
getting hungry. Not yet.
Nah, dude, just wait till just dark, chill. Man. It's fine.
I ended up taking my 30-06, and I figured out that I could get up on top of the one hill in the hayfield next to it, and it would put me about just shy of 300 yards away from that sumac patch. And so I sat there with binoculars, and sure enough, at last light, they started pouring out, and this nine point stands up, and he starts dogging after this doe. And so I sat there, and I thought he was going to breed her, and then she kind of scooted out, and he was kind of left all blue balled. And so I settled one into him. Yeah. And let one fly. And actually, I ended up calling you that night because he acted all screwy when I hit him. But yeah, that was I ended up letting him go overnight, recovering him the following morning, just because I didn't like the blood that I had.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, my my bullet, I shoot it's a Remington 700, my rifle, and it shoots that Core-Lock ammo, the cheapest ammo you can get. It shoots it incredibly well, so screw it, why not? And here what happened was the jacket separated from the lead core. The lead core continued through both lungs, and the jacket swung back, and it went back and hit his liver. And so he acted like he was gut shot, because he was. And when I went up to check out the blood, it was just like, you know, it was really light. There was bits of corn in it. I was like, oh, shit.
Kind of like a little of everything in there. Yeah, that would be confusing.
Oh, it was awful. And, like, I got up there and I found a little pile of blood. And, I mean, you could smell it just from standing there. I'm like, God, fuck. I got shot this thing. So I backed down and I came out the next morning. And my wife came with me. She was 5 months pregnant at the time. And
that's a trooper.
She is. She's awesome. And, we ended up walking that thing in. He only went about 150 yards and bedded up just inside the woods. And smart I think move, he was man. Probably dead by the time I got back to my truck that night.
I'd say you're probably right, but, man, it's better to back out.
Yeah, when you see guts, it's, you know, you never know.
It's a big red flag. You did the right thing.
Yeah. I don't think anybody else listening would have done it different, man. You got to – those suck, man, those calls like that, but – it's better to wait. Like, longer doesn't hurt. Coyotes, you know, that puts some pressure on you. Bad weather, like more snow or crazy rain or something like that puts pressure on you. But all in all, if weather permitting, it's better to wait.
Yeah. It wasn't snowing bad that night. It was windy, but it was like 20 degrees. So I knew, you know, nothing too bad was going to happen. We don't have a ton of coyotes in that area. So I wasn't terribly worried about coming back to a pile of bones or anything, but No, he was in touch. He was bedded up next to a log, looked like he just fell asleep. So,
that's awesome, man. It's a good buck. Do you do a lot of shoulder mounts or Euro mounts, or like what's your preference?
Euro mounts. I love the Euro mount.
Really? Is in PA, and I know this goes per individual, but I feel like all my friends here have a lot of shoulder mounts. Do a lot of guys dive into the shoulder mount thing there, or because the quality of deer is different, is it a skull thing primarily?
No, I think I'm the odd man out.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Loads of my buddies have shoulder mounts. Shoulder mounts are huge. No, I don't know if I've ever actually seen a full body mount in Pennsylvania. I know they're here, but I don't know of anyone that has a full body mount.
Hmm.
But are the tons of shoulder mounts, though.
Are the deer's bodies there generally pretty big? I mean, I know you guys have some ag areas and stuff like that, but I mean, if you had to throw an average weight out on a buck, what would you throw out at it? That's tough to actually. I don't even know what it'd be here.
No, you're good. That 9-point that I killed last year, he was 190 pounds field dressed.
That's a good size deer, definitely.
So yeah, I was pretty happy with him. He was a bit of a bear to drag out, especially when they're stiff as board.
Right.
But
what do you think, guys? The average like Illinois Iowa buck is like dressed mature buck.
Smaller buck, 170 pounds dressed probably.
Yeah. One of my bigger bucks, I remember dressed. He was 215, but that was like. He had a broken, I think his rear leg was broken and healed at the knee. It was like a softball, but it was like a rock solid. And then I think he was like ran thin because he was dogging a doe pretty hard. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he dressed at 215.
Mm-hmm. That's huge.
My brother's 180 incher dressed at 230.
No shit.
Yeah.
I believe that. I wish we would have weighed the Geyer buck back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
I'll have to pull up some body pictures of that thing. It is unreal, dude.
Yep.
Like, I bet you that thing dressed, I don't know. Live weight, we were guessing well into the 300s.
For real?
Yeah. I would put money on it. We have, so my dad shot that deer, and then the following day, I think my dad shot that deer like a day or two before Illinois first firearm season. Chandler's got the Geyer buck shirt on. By the way, the Geyer buck shirt, the body is way small, but it looks good. So my dad shot that deer, and then his buddy shot a smaller deer, and you could almost like put the smaller deer inside the body cavity of the other one. Like
it was a
holy
buck.
Crap.
Uh-huh, it was a buck.
Oh, really?
It's like unreal.
Damn.
The chest on the Geyer buck is like insane.
I'm bad about that. A lot of guys ask, "Well, what'd your deer weigh?" I don't think I've ever put a scale on one of my bucks.
Yeah, I only have just that big one.
I wish that I would have just to keep track, because in my head I know which ones are bigger than the other ones, but I have no idea what they weighed.
It's cool to know, but like in the middle of like getting them taken care of and all the chaos, it's just that extra thing that takes a little more time.
If I had a scale in my garage, I'd probably do it. I've just never bought one. I need to do that.
Bought one for like $30 on Amazon. It's a digital one.
I'm gonna get that old Harbor Freight winch. Plug it in the top of the garage and just winch it up. Call it
real quick.
There you go.
I think. But
well, the only reason I know how much any of my bucks weigh is deer processing is huge around here. I mean, there's probably 15 different processors within 20 minutes of my house.
Wow.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I mean, you're gonna pay by weight. So they want to know how much money they're getting. So. That's the only reason you get to know how much.
Don't quote me on this, but the 10-year-old doe I shot, I could pull it up on my Facebook, but I don't want to bog my country internet down. I have it in the description of the 10-year-old doe I shot. I had it weighed dressed, and I want to say dressed, she was 174.
It's a big old doe.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
It's a doe. I think I want to say 184, but I think 174 is more correct.
That's bigger than the hopper dropper, I guarantee it.
Mm-hmm.
My mom's was 220.
That is big.
Dressed?
Yeah.
It's crazy, man. It's just, I mean, I would imagine PA bucks get that big, too. I mean, some of the big northern Canadian bucks get huge.
Oh, man. Yeah, they're tanks.
Oh, man.
I remember seeing an article.
That's what
your dad's muscle came from. Canada.
It ran down.
That's what Dan Smeltz was saying on his podcast when he was out there with you guys. He said that the bodies of the deer out there are just enormous.
Right, yeah. And I can see that. You know, it gets cold out there, too. It's like they need that body weight and the bulk to keep warm. But what were you going to say, Chandler?
I was just going to say, I remember an article I read a long time ago, and it's the heaviest deer that I ever remember seeing in a magazine or anything, but it was 330 pounds dressed.
Oh, really?
That's the biggest deer that I can remember. And this has been a long time ago when I saw that, so I'm sure there's been a lot bigger deer since then. But
there was one, and we're doing this whole, I saw one of these, but I don't remember the details, but we're just bullshitting, right? I want to say it was a VHS tape. It might have been, I don't think it was Jim Shockey. It might have been a Monster Bucks. It was one of them old VHS tapes. But it was like a female hunter shot one in Saskatchewan that I think live weight was in the 500s.
No way.
Yeah, just a hay fed type, you know, buck. But do you guys remember, I just thought of this and I'm just bringing it up like on the fly. Do you remember the old Realtree VHS, the home videos, the Realtree home videos series they did?
I don't remember that.
Oh, come on. Mm-hmm. I can't be the only motherfucker in here that remembers
I don't remember that either.
I'm from the old school, but I don't remember that.
It was Oh, I gotta pull them out now. I gotta get a VHS player for the garage and get all that set up. And we'll watch them. But it was like, if you film something cool, you send it into Realtree, and then like Bill Jordan did a compilation, like commentary over it, kind of like Ridiculousness, and then merged it all together. So it was like this
what?
Cool.
I never heard of this.
Yeah, I'll have to show you. I have them all.
Damn.
It was like they'd have like bucks fighting that a hunter filmed, and like one buck would kill the other one, and like just unique stuff, and then they submitted it in, or albino deer, or whatever. It's just crazy shit.
That's crazy.
I'll have to pull it up after this podcast.
We should do something like that.
But it's
that's cool.
It was, yeah. It was. I loved them when I was a kid. I like watch those over and over and over again.
When I was a kid, I'd watch that now. Stuff. Shit.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it'd be fun to watch now. It might be kind of lame now because, you know, the internet, you get to see everything and become numb to shit. But
I just love watching those old hunting shows because you get to see the gear that they're using. You're like, man, I remember when I was running that. Oh, it brings me back.
It's all mid school.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like BMX era is mid school. That's all mid school hunting gear now. What videos and stuff did you grow up on?
I really didn't watch too much hunting. Honestly,
really? That's what kept me hungry. I felt like,
yeah,
it was what channel was it? I want to say it was called the Versus channel.
Oh, and, yeah,
yeah, and it was like out of Pittsburgh, and we got over some satellite TV, and I mean, we would watch pheasant hunting and stuff. I mean, I just watched whatever my dad wanted to watch, and it was always like pheasant hunting, duck hunting, grouse hunting. It's kind of pretty lame, honestly.
Yeah, doing it's fun, but watching it sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say, since we're bullshitting about it, when Eric and I hunted Indiana a couple weekends ago, we didn't hunt mornings because we're hunting just like food sources, so we didn't want to fuck it up before we got going. So we kind of just like relaxed and had like our own little vacation, and we'd watch Outdoor Channel like all day. And I hadn't just watched like Outdoor Channel for a long time. It was kind of nice because I felt like I'm working a little bit because I'm kind of like doing media scouting and like seeing what people are doing and how they're doing it.
You're just watching the buzzbusses the whole time.
Yeah, I'm just like,
look for likes.
Yeah. Yeah. Viral Outdoors, if you watch that other show they have.
Uh-uh.
Oh, man. For Love or for Likes is a great production compared to that.
Oh, damn.
But I enjoyed it, man. It kind of brought me back a little bit to when I was a kid and would just watch like whatever was on. That's what I like about watching it because it's stuff I would normally would not click on and sit there and watch it for 30 minutes. But because it was on and we were chilling there, I was just watching these shows in like their entirety. And I'd say a lot of them are more, it's 60-40. They're more enjoyable than I give them credit for. And then the 40% of it's like, these are just as cringy as I thought they were at the same time.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
But I also enjoy it a little bit, you know, I don't know. They had this show. It was a commercial I saw. You pay $50 a month, and you can submit your hunting videos, and then they'll air them as a show on Outdoor Channel. And it's like, don't worry, no commitment to sponsors. Use whatever you want, but pay us $50 a month.
$50 a month.
Yeah, so they buy their slot and I guess air your videos.
Like what, a 5-minute slot, 10-minute slot?
I don't know, but it's genius.
It's a really good idea.
People are hungry to get out there, so
it's genius for people collecting all the money.
Yeah.
I'd probably look forward to that segment more than anything else that they air on there, honestly.
Probably.
Yeah.
I mean, they got some good shows still, but
yep.
there's some that I'm like, no shit. Is this on here?
Does it say they might air it?
I'll probably go to hell. No, I don't know. I didn't,
cause like,
I mean, call
I
can, the number.
I can imagine some videos coming in that like, we cannot air this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the guy that's on the Quad City Deer Forum had
slitting throats and blowing heads off.
Yeah, yeah, none of that. But sorry, Tim, to get off on that tangent. Just kind of, it's
no, I love it.
it's part of the gig, I guess. At this point, I don't know, man. I don't know. It's
I dig it.
It's,
so
go ahead.
I got a question.
Yeah,
if you guys could hunt whitetail in any state. What state would you want to hunt them out of? I'm really interested in Michigan Upper Peninsula whitetail.
Hey, are you? Why? I'm just kidding.
Why? It's just Upper Peninsula. I mean, I've never been there, so maybe it sucks, and maybe I'm just like, yeah, you know what? Maybe I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
I'm leaning that way,
but,
Tim.
Yeah. But I really want like a northern buck or I don't know.
Go to Saskatchewan, like, bro, for that.
Yeah, but no, but like United States.
Oh,
Oh, come on. I mean, I would go to Saskatchewan if I had the choice.
Okay, you know where I'd go? Illinois. We live in Iowa, Illinois, man. It's that's a tough question.
Right, I've got a bunch.
You over Illinois?
Well, we live in a great spot, and I'm really anxious to draw the Iowa tag. Like, I feel right. Like there's a really good potential to shoot a booner there if I'm patient enough.
But I feel like we're kind of one with Iowa, you know?
I think, like, country-wise, and there are some good deer out in the Milk River. I'd like to go out in that area just to experience that sheer number of animal.
Yeah.
And then I bear hunted up in Saskatchewan, where a lot of big deer come out of. So that would be a fun hunt. And then I'd like to go down and get a big Mexico deer, too.
Mexico would be cool.
That is something I'm interested in.
If I had to change my answer, I would say like a Western, like river bottom whitetail. Like, I think South Dakota would be cool. Mm-hmm. The Dakotas, or Texas, South Texas somewhere would be really awesome.
Texas or Mexico, one of those big, like, spindly, big frame deer.
Yeah. Ever since we did the Phil Murray podcast, I've kind of had like this
little Texas kick.
I have this like thorn that keeps poking me. That's like Texas.
Oh, I get it.
Go eat some barbecue too.
Yeah. I mean, it's got all things that are good down
Crank up some ZZ
Top. It sounds like you can just go up into a stand and just shoot at anything that walks past you.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like fair game out there.
Yeah.
I mean, that sounds all right to me.
Yeah. Yeah. So, ignore Michigan. We're second and third place for you for whitetail states.
All right, it would be Iowa.
It would be Iowa.
Yeah, my absolutely. God. I mean, my first place would be Iowa.
Ha, come on over.
I just don't have to drive quite as far. So I go to Michigan.
Well, you got a place to stay in Iowa.
But I gotta tell you, wife and I went on honeymoon.
He's like, yeah, cool, but.
Yeah,
I ain't gay, so
hard pass.
It's gonna be a no for me, dog.
Honestly, I didn't hear you.
Oh, well, it played off like you did, and it was beautiful. I was like, "Well, you got a place to stay," and you're just like, "Yeah, but Michigan."
sick. I'd say there. But my wife and I, we did our honeymoon up in Maine. I saw some freaking giants,
no kidding,
big old bucks up in Maine.
Okay, let me ask you this. I'm sorry I'm cutting you off. I didn't mean to. But now that I'm already in, I'm just going to keep going.
No, you're good.
Let's talk dream hunt. Like, you're going on your dream hunt anywhere in the world. What's number one, and then what's number two, and why?
Woof. Fuck. I wish you would have texted me about this earlier.
Put him on the spot.
Well, that's part of the fun of it, you know?
No, yeah. I guess I would do Yukon moose,
solid
number one.
Very solid.
And then I think number two would be Alaskan doll sheep.
Oh, ooh, interesting!
Nice,
solid choices, man. Damn. Two adventure hunts.
I don't know if I could physically do.
Yeah, you better do them when you're
Alaskan
young.
Doll sheep.
Do them when you're young. But,
very cool. No, those are adventures, man. I was I think Moose is up there for a lot of people. It's up there for me. Chandler, you're making that dream a reality.
Yep, I'm actually taking the plunge in that one this fall. Yeah. Myself, Ross, and our buddy Cody, we're all hopping on the float plane and flying into the bush for 10 days with the Bows. So.
I'm so
that's
jealous.
Nuts.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
When do you guys leave for that hunt?
It'll be right when the rut is peaking, so middle of September is when we're going to start hunting. Oh, so ass. I think like the 15th through the 25th, somewhere in there.
Nice. Yep. That's going to be so fucking awesome, man. Yeah.
Dude.
We'll have to suit you guys up with the GoPros when you do that hunt.
It's still kind of a dream. I can't believe we're actually doing it.
Yeah, like you think about it all the time, but now it's like...
My buddy just called me yesterday. We're talking about water purification systems, and we have to bring a stove in with us because there's not a big stove in our wall tent set up that they're going to already have there. So we're already starting to like... go through gear list and assembling camo. It's like, man, we're actually doing this. It's insane.
Dude, just bring a jet boil.
I'm not sure what we're going to do, but it's...
I got a jet boil and all that shit you can use.
We're thinking like a nice little fire, like a place to actually dry clothes out on if we get wet.
Like
you know?
A stove. Yeah.
You can get little portable ones to pack in.
Talk to Scott Bakken because he did the same hunt.
Yep.
And he has a stove that he toted around with him. I'm sure Clint's got some sort of recommendation.
Yep. We've got three buddies that went up to this exact place where we hunted, and it's really nice having friends that have already been up there so they can kind of tell us what we do and don't need. But yeah, I'm definitely going to hit Clint up. And I never even thought about Scott.
We'll have to do a pre-trip. Yeah, Scott just got off that hunt, you know.
Tim, I'm just taking over your podcast now, by the
way. No, you're perfectly fine. I was going to say
Scott will be here soon, so you just talk to him then.
Yeah. It'll work out perfect.
But we'll have to do a pre, during, and post podcast with you guys and all
for
that
sure,
stuff.
For sure, man. But. Looking forward to it. But, yeah, that's my dream hunt, Tim. That's number one for me. And then I think a red stag's probably number two.
Oof. For red stag, are you talking like Argentinian?
Well,
or New Zealand?
Yeah, Argentina is definitely closer. It's not a 30-hour flight like going over to New Zealand, and they have some big animals down there too. So I don't know. I guess money wise and time wise, I would consider going south versus flying all the way out to New Zealand.
Yeah, but for like my number one dream hunt would be New Zealand red stag with a bow. Yeah.
I think either would be cool.
I get it,
but I've been to like. I've been south Brazil, like right on the Argentina border, and by the time you get there, man, it's an adventure. Mm-hmm. Look, I don't think it's like crazy beautiful in New Zealand or whatever. I've never been there. My wife has been there and heard stags bugling and all that, but she's like, I think there's a Sasquatch out here. I'm like, it's probably a red stag. But
dude,
30
hours on a plane. Can you imagine?
Or I think my flight and drive was like 20-something, I guess, to where I ended up going.
Jeez.
So, I mean, I guess at that point, I might as well go to New Zealand, but...
Man.
God, New Zealand would be so cool.
Oh, yeah. Maybe we should do a team trip.
Remember that their booth right next to us at the Deer Classic from New Zealand?
Yeah.
I forgot how much it was.
It wasn't that bad.
It wasn't as much as you'd think. $10,000 to $12,000 to get you on a nice hunt, I think.
Well, here's this. And Tim, I don't know nice where one, you think about this stuff or how much you've looked at, like, guided hunts, but, you know, you think... An elk hunt. You pay for a guided archery elk hunt. You're talking, and I'm going to cover all the ranges I've seen, $5,000 to $10,000, depending on where you go, what state, the quality, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
So I've seen stag hunts go $10,000 to $15,000.
Yep.
So, I think $5,000 for an elk hunt, I would do that.
I would.
For a nice 300-plus type bull, that's a good.
$7,000?
Yeah.
I would probably still do that.
Yep.
I pay a lot for leases just to have a spot to go to consistently every year. I think $7,000.
That's a very good point. Yeah.
I would do it. So to go on a once in a lifetime adventure that you'll never forget and you'll look at and you just, it's amazing. It's better than buying a truck.
Yep.
You know, at $15,000.
That's what's crazy.
It's not that bad.
That's what's crazy about those moose hunts. They are so expensive if you have a guide. Like if you go on a good moose hunt, fully guided, everything, it's like, you're looking at like 20 G's.
Yeah,
so we
or Shockey's like 30 something.
We just couldn't afford it, so we opted for an Alaskan. It's like a drop style camp, so they put you in an area where there's going to be bulls. Like we've had buddies up there said it is bull rich, but you're doing it yourself, so that's half the money. You know, we're going to have like eight or nine in that, so that's a little more manageable for us.
Yeah. Well, let me ask
Austin,
you guys this. Oh, go ahead, Tim.
Austin, did you look at going to Newfoundland at all?
No, I didn't. We thought, man, you know, we're looking for like a upper 40s or better type bull, and we just knew that our best odds were probably going to be in Alaska, so we didn't really consider any place else.
Fair enough. Okay.
I also would go for a caribou, too.
I want to do that caribou. So bad. I want to do a caribou hunt so bad for some reason.
That's why I brought up Newfoundland. My buddy's dad just did that, shot a whopper. Oh my god!
No kidding.
Yeah. So, it was rifle, but oh my gosh.
Was it like that, the one, like where they're in huge herds, or was it like a little more separate?
Like the migration.
Yeah, yeah. Because the migration would be insane.
Yeah, migration would be insane. And I'm not really sure. I didn't get to talk to...
God, a
whopper. We call him Doc. But yeah, caribou, he shot a elk, moose, fucking red swab.
Sack. Well, what's... You know, we talked dream hunts, Tim. I mean, what's in your realm of... The next, I don't want to say it's not a dream or something that you have on your bucket list, but like, I have like a bucket list, like black bears on my bucket list, antelopes on my bucket list. What's next on your bucket list, or what have you already checked off your bucket list?
I think black bear would be a next one up.
And those are right in your wheelhouse right there where you live, right?
Yeah, yeah. Not so much in my immediate township. There are black bear in my township where I live in my little county, but in October, my buddies and I, we went down to the mountains of PA and we did a black bear slash deer hunt down there. It was during there's an overlap with muzzleloader season, where if you have a muzzleloader, you can shoot a doe, and you can also shoot a black bear. And some of those guys took down muzzleloaders. I was the only one with a bow. Because then that opens me up to shooting a buck, a doe, or a black bear.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and so I thought, you know, might as well just take the bow. They were going to go do they were going to go post up on the mountain behind camp. And so I decided to kind of, you know, head off on my own down south of camp onto another mountain. And no one saw a bear. But that was my first time ever getting a chance to actually put a stalk on a whitetail, which was a blast. It was a super, super good time. That was a lot of fun.
Fuck yeah.
I was meeting up with Chris. I was talking to him over the walkie-talkie. I was like, hey, where are you guys at? He goes, well, I think we're going to go back to camp and, you know, get lunch started. I was like, all right, you know, I'll meet you at the bridge. And there's this old logging bridge way, way back in the – it's called the Allegheny National Forest. And so we ended up hiking back towards there. And as I'm walking back towards him, I just had to sit down, catch my breath. I'd been walking for a good hour and a half and on really tough terrain. And so I just sat down. I was drinking some water and decided to take out my binoculars. And I started looking around. And lo and behold, there's a big doe bedded down like 200 yards, 250 yards away from me. And I had a really good crosswind. The only issue was it was so dry for about the week leading up to that. And there were so many leaves down. It was incredibly loud.
Yeah, and whitetails don't let you get away with a lot.
Mm-hmm. If you can stock up on one of them, you can do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so I ended up getting down close enough to this little stream that she was by, and I just kind of slunked down, like kind of slid down the bank into the water and filled my boots up pretty quick with water. But it was the easiest way for me to close the distance on her. And I got within, I think, about 35 yards of her and knocked an arrow, and I checked the tree that she was she was actually bedded behind a log that was laying down, and I knew the tree that was right next to that log, so I kept on range finding that tree, and it was at 35 yards. So I knocked an arrow, got my release on, and came back to full drawn. I had about four trees in between us, kind of in a line, and our wind was going left to right. She couldn't smell me, but by that time she knew something was up. She could definitely hear me walking up. And I took a step out, and I hadn't seen her for the majority of that time walking up. Just because I figure if she can't smell me and she can't see me, I've got a pretty good chance of her hearing me and not being too freaked out. And so I get in full draw, and I step down. Here she was already standing, and she was quartering to her. Towards me pretty hard, and so I'm looking at her. I'm like, I don't know if I should take that shot or not. I'm kind of hemming and hawing about it. And she took one step and made herself a little bit more broadside. And I took a shot and I just straight up missed. I shot right in front of her. I was pretty shook up at the time, but she wasn't freaked out. Looking back, I wish I would have knocked an arrow because really she ran about 10 yards and then turned broadside and just looked at me. I'm like, yeah, I could have just stuck her right there.
Just had no idea what was going on, really.
No, she had no clue. She heard a noise and then she heard a noise behind her and she was like, fuck this, I'm out of here.
I've never had a stalkable opportunity. Not that I can think of all the dumb. Well, I could have. Like, I've seen some small bucks bedded and stuff like that, but like.
And like one year after?
No, never.
Yeah, me neither.
Have you, Austin?
Nope.
It's just different.
I guess I'm just so, I see how sketchy they are. And like you say, the caliber of deer that we're after, it's kind of hard to see one, let alone find one bedded.
Yeah.
And
I've shot does and stuff from the ground, but like it's.
Oh, I've killed bucks from the ground, but I've never been able to stock up on one.
Right.
Yeah, there's that one this year that I spooked up on my truck, but I didn't know he was there. If he knew he was there, I probably could have killed him.
My dad snuck up on one this year, and he shoulder hit him.
Yep.
That's crazy.
Like, remember, a few weeks ago now. I mean, longer than that, probably, when we had that crazy, like, it was like, it felt like 80-mile-an-hour line winds when my dad did it, but just was checking ditches and sneaking around when it was windy. And
yeah, I think it was raining and windy and just an ideal kind of just to walk around and see what you can see type of day, and he did it. He walked up on a good one.
Yeah, he got within 20 yards and just shoulder hit. I think the deer lived. It's just typical shoulder stuff, like ran out of blood. Good blood for 80, 90 yards and then dried up and nothing. And it's a spot where if that deer would have died, we would have found him. Like
Was he shooting a mechanical or a fixed?
I don't know. My dad I don't know, actually. I think mechanical, but he was shooting Viper tricks for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I don't recall. I think mechanical. Don't hold me to that, though. Sorry, Dad, if I'm wrong. But no, man, that's cool. That's a cool story. That's fun, too, because you learn a lot sneaking up. But like, even if it's a doe, you can learn a lot, take a lot of notes down. And
oh, yeah. Yeah, she was a big doe. I really wish I would have gotten an arrow in her. Speaking of stalking, I know there's a few guys around here that will walk into cornfields, you know, keep the wind in their favor, and they'll walk down the rows of corns and just kind of take a peek down each row. And I've heard of guys doing it, and you know, you see a good doe or something like that, and you kind of count how many rows she's down and move up on her, and then you just come to full draw, step out and shoot them in standing corn. And I've heard a few guys around here doing that, but I've never had the balls to give it a go.
I'm sure that happens a lot around here, but I don't really hear about that much. But that's a good method.
Yeah, we're talking about. Go ahead, Tim.
I'm sorry. You're probably not going to shoot any stud buck out of it. But if you're just looking to shoot some does, man, that'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah,
that'd be a lot of fun, man.
Go ahead, Lord.
Yeah, we were talking about watching old school videos, and I remember one that kind of pertains to this.
Can I predict what you're going to say?
Okay.
Because I think I know which one it is.
Okay.
But I don't want to ruin your story if I'm going to predict.
Go ahead, predict.
Candy Kiske.
Nope.
God.
It was the Fitzgeralds. Way back in the day, they had it was a whole video dedicated to stalking deer in the corn, and they killed like 3 or 4 bucks on this video. No giants that I remember, but they had it down to a science. Like, they'd wait for the wind in the rain, and they would walk through cornfields and they would shoot these bedded bucks out in the cornfields.
No kidding.
It's pretty crazy. Yeah.
Wow, that's cool. Interesting. Yeah, man, I remember Candy Kiske shooting a big buck in corn like that.
But I'm just thinking of the cornfields and like, that's a lot of corn.
I just don't like to pressure my deer when I like to get ahead of them, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, to me, I feel the odds of fucking shit up are way greater than being successful.
Oh, yeah.
But I would say if you saw them go in there.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Even then, if I saw my target buck going to a bunch of standing corn, I'd be like, all right, that's a spot. Like, he ain't going to bed somewhere dumb.
Catch him on the way out.
Yeah, I'd have to slip around.
Sit all day on him.
Yeah, I'd do a hang and bang on the other side where I thought he might be going or something like that. You know, like, that would be more my go-to move.
That's impressive, though.
than
yeah. They yeah. had it dialed in. I thought it, and it was fun to watch. Like they were just walking up on these bedded deer in the corn, and they, those deer had no idea. They'd shoot them right on the bed.
They have. I bet you they have like a different level of like security because they're in the standing corn. You know.
Yep.
Now I would only be impressed if they're wearing windbreakers in the corn.
Hey, you know, back in the day, could have been.
Yeah. You never. Tim, know. Before I don't want to forget, man. We didn't do a veteran shout out in the beginning.
Oh yeah.
So if you got one, man, let us have it.
All right, yeah. My veteran shout-out is to Chris Krantz. He's a buddy of mine from work, but and that's where we met, was at work. But he got into the Army in 06, and then he did 10 years. So he was in from 06 to 16. Did a tour in Iraq. Also, he's ended his military career as a staff sergeant. He was the best man at my wedding. I was in his wedding party. He's got a beautiful little girl. And, I mean, that man is a stud of a killer. I mean, he is dialed in. You want to talk to a really good PA bow hunter? Chris Krantz. He's your man.
That's awesome.
And, so yeah, Chris, he shot a really nice 8-point in November. I think it was November 14th this year.
Very cool. Well, thanks for your service, yeah. Chris. Appreciate you, buddy.
Thank you, Chris.
That's awesome.
Congrats on your butt.
Cool. Yeah, I didn't want to forget to do that. Tim, anything you want to cover, man, before we close out of here? Any shout-outs? Where can people find you?
I'm on Instagram, Tim Stancliffe on Instagram. And then I put stuff on Facebook every now and then. Timothy Sancliffe on Facebook. I'm really creative when it comes to names and social media, apparently. But, right. Yeah, that's it. That's all I got.
Well, cool, man. I know. Are you going to come out to the shoot again this summer, June 12th?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm going to try and make it happen. I've got a buddy in Ohio, Brian. He's over in Cuyahoga. And we're going to see if we can do a carpooling situation, make it out to the shoot, and have a blast with you guys.
Cool. Yeah, we're looking forward, man, to hanging out. And anybody listening, you're more than welcome to come to the shoot. June 12th, if you know where Galesburg, Illinois is, you can find the shoot. It's right there, just the first town north of Galesburg, pretty much. And then we're having an after party at Jigs's Tavern in Alexis, Illinois.
That's the main draw right there.
That's the main draw. So
we're going big.
And it's honestly the distance between the pub and the shoot is like – maybe 10 minutes, 10 minutes tops.
Right.
So good small town, awesome bar, the kind we like. They serve cold beer, Busch Light, if you like that. That's there, and everything else that's good.
Johnson, they Johnson got what you boys, want. Johnson boys will be bouncing the doorway,
yep,
keeping all the riffraff out.
Yeah, so no funny business, because we'll just shoot you here.
They'll be the ones all trashed.
Yeah, they're the ones all drunk and war causing.
We
got
to kick them
just
out.
Trying to cause fights with people as they come in.
They're like, aren't you the Johnsons? Get the fuck out of here. Calling them
yeah,
out.
Get in here. Right? Yeah.
Well, thanks, Tim. We appreciate you, man. Thanks for being part of the team and all the support of the podcast. And it was finally good to get you on and do a little storytelling and a little bit of bullshitting on record for everybody to hear. So,
absolutely. Thanks for having me. Really appreciate it. Thanks thanks for making this community of hunters and really across the nation possible. So,
yeah, man, it was an accident. honestly, to a point, but... Chandler, Doug, anything?
It's been a lot of fun, man. Glad you were on and looking forward to seeing you this summer.
Absolutely.
Good talking to you, Tim. And you still got some season left?
Yeah, I still got some season left. I got a 10-point that I'm trying to get after. And, yeah, he was kind of late to the party, showed up about 2 weeks ago. And so my next archery season starts December 26th. When I can finally get out.
All right, Doug.
So,
you know what that means. Where's this mustache prediction before we close out? He needs an official mustache prediction.
When's your season end?
January 18th.
January 3rd.
Ooh, right. I can right do that. I'll be right with that.
Quick one. Okay.
Boom.
You've been blessed. The luck of the podcast is with you.
Good luck.
Nice, man.
My predictions have been shit.
They've been tough this year.
Tough year for me, man.
All right, buddy. We appreciate you, man. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We appreciate the support, and good luck to you if you have a tag left. You know what to do. Go shoot your bow. We love you.